Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
So we've covered some of the best mountains to go walking on in Ireland over the past few weeks. Now we want to go deep underground and talk about some of the most fascinating caves in Ireland that you can visit. And there are many cave networks all over the island of Ireland, particularly in counties like Clare, Fermanagh and Cavan. They are unique, ancient and historic places, and since the Stone Age, people have gathered in them, buried their dead there, and animals like bears used to live in them. Most caves in Ireland are really difficult to access, but there are a number of show caves that are designed to be visited by the public, and I'm going to speak now with two of Ireland's foremost cave experts. We have Dr. Eamon Doyle, who's a geologist for the Burren and Cliffs of Moher UNESCO Global Geopark, and Dr. Marion Dowd, who's a lecturer archaeology at the Atlantic Technological University in Sligo. And it's lovely to have you both with us, Eamon and Marion. But Eamon, I'm going to start with you. Will you explain to me why some parts of Ireland have so many caves and how they formed?
Well, thanks, Marion. Or Claire, sorry. It all depends on the rock. So some rocks are susceptible to being dissolved by water, which is basically rain. So where it rains, and it rains all over Ireland, of course, when that rain hits limestone in particular, it will dissolve that rock. So even though the rock is very hard, if you're walking around in the Burren or anywhere else, it's as hard as concrete. If you fall in it, you'll feel it. A little chemical reaction happens because every drop of water that falls on that has absorbed some carbon dioxide from the atmosphere. Just whatever carbon dioxide is there, obviously there's more now, and we're putting more in, but it'll absorb that, and that'll make that water a very weak acid. Now, nothing like as strong as vinegar or anything like that, and that'll start dissolving the limestone as soon as it touches it.
So where we have limestone, we will have caves?
Where you've got limestone exposed on the surface, we will have caves, yes.
Mm-hmm. What's it like then going through a cave?
Oh, well, it's very different to being on the surface, and that's one of the things about a cave. You know, we're so used to being on the surface with all the experiences and all the light and everything. Once you go into a cave, it gets dark very, very quickly. Now, in the show caves, of course, they've got lights and guides and everything, but basically it's extremely dark. That's the first thing. But also, sound is different. You know, there's no wind, and the temperature is different as well. The average temperature in caves in Ireland is about, you know, 9-10 degrees, and it stays like that all year round with very little fluctuations. So in winter, it's actually sometimes warmer to be inside a cave. And on a hot day in summer, it's cooler to be in a cave. So, you know.
Mm-hmm. And we're talking very tight spaces sometimes as well. Like you'd be crawling along on your elbows, shuffling along.
Well, no, not in the show caves, no. So when the caves were originally discovered, yes, mostly that is the case. The early people who went in, they had to crawl along narrow spaces to get in, and then they'd find the chambers. And then when they decided to develop these caves as show caves, they had to do some work to make them accessible to people, because obviously we can't be asking people to go in their hands and knees crawling along. Mm-hmm. Nobody would go in.
Yeah, these are, I mean, we should really be clear on this. Yes. We have the show caves, which we're going to talk about a little bit later on, where anyone can go and visit. But experienced cavers, let's call them that, people like yourself, you will be going into these inaccessible almost places where you need the specialist gear and you need to know what you're doing.
Yes, you only go in if you're experienced, and the best thing is to join a caving club. That is the absolute first thing you do, you know. So, you know, there are caves all over the country, and, you know, you can get in, but you don't go in if you don't know what you're doing. That's mm-hmm. that's the first thing. So yeah, when you go in, you go in with somebody else, you go in with experienced people, and you know, you just don't quite know what you're going to find. And that's the thing, it's exploration. It really is exploration. You're crawling along these little passages. Sometimes they're very narrow, sometimes it really is a tight squeeze, and then sometimes they open up into these big chambers, and it's a fantastic experience. And then you're constantly looking for smaller passages, see where they go. They might lead into something else that hasn't been found before, and that's what the caving clubs do. And Clare Caving Club in particular are very active and are constantly exploring little passages, finding new ways, trying to extend the area of these caves and see where they lead and see what they might find in them.
And what they might find is what I want to ask you about next. Like, what are you hoping to find?
I guess the first thing is you find another passage, you know, so just see where that goes, because not all, you know, a lot of the passages are blocked or they're too narrow to crawl through. So you're constantly looking for more, seeing, you know, if a passage goes up or down or further along. So that's the main thing. And then, of course, there's always the hope that you're going to find something with spectacular stalactites or stalagmites, you know, something really impressive like that, or maybe even bones. And I know Marion is going to talk about that in a bit. But, you know, sometimes, you know, animals have lived in those caves and you might find bones. And of course, people have have been using those caves. So that's the other hope as well.
And the fossils as well in the rock, embedded in the rock?
Yes, exactly. So on the surface, you know, you'll see fossils in the rock. Sometimes, you know, in walls and stuff, you'll see them. But when you go down into the cave, you're seeing them like in the actual rock. So the water has cut through that limestone and it exposed on the walls of the cave or in the roof of the cave. Sometimes you'll see brachiopods, crinoids and corals exposed on the side there. So you get a look, you get a kind of a slice through the rock that you can't get on the surface in many cases.
And can you date these caves? How old are they?
That's a difficult one. We know how old the rocks are themselves. So the rocks that the caves are formed in are 330 million years old. So that's the Carboniferous period. So the rocks themselves are very old. They formed along 6,000 kilometres away down near the equator. And it's only when they got up here, really, that the water started, you know, dissolving them. So it probably, some caves are older than others. Some caves are active now and are only maybe 15, 20,000 years old. And other caves then are much older. For example, Islay Cave is probably over a million years old, maybe even older.
Well, let's bring in Marion. Dr. Marion Dowd. So Marion, I know you've been researching cave archaeology for over 20 years now, and these caves, and Eamon has alluded to this, they were very special places in ancient times, almost viewed as sacred and mysterious places. Just tell us a little bit more about their history.
Well, what we find is that for as long as there's been people in Ireland, they've interacted with caves. And in fact, our oldest ritual site is a fabulous cave in Limerick, Killoura Cave, a very, very small cave. And people were coming there about 8,000 years ago and leaving bones of their dead at the cave and stone tools. And really, from that point onwards, what we see is, especially in prehistory, people were using caves as sacred places or using them for burial. And there's a very strong association at that time between the dead or the spirit world and caves. So we find lots of different kind of ritual activities or funerary activities in caves. That starts to change then with the advent of Christianity about kind of 400, 500 AD. And it's from that point onwards that we see people are living in caves and using them for a much wider range of purposes. You still get caves associated with saints and, you know, part of kind of religious practices like pilgrimages, holy wells. But we also find people are living in caves for the first time or using them for storage or using them as hideaways. And that continues right up to the present day. I mean, the most recent project I've been involved in was looking at a cave in North Sligo that was used by the anti-treaty IRA during the Civil War. And we kind of tend to forget that in the modern day. We have very little kind of intimate familiarity with the landscape and with the underground landscape in particular. But that's a very modern phenomenon because people have been using caves for thousands and thousands of years.
And I know you've excavated lots of caves yourself. You know about a lot of what has been discovered in caves over the years. There's one really interesting one that I wanted to talk to you about in the Burn. This is Monine Cave. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so that was a little cave outside Ballyvaughan, and cavers had discovered some archaeological material there when they were exploring the cave. And that's actually how most of the archaeology is found in Irish caves. It's through caving activities. So we were brought in as a team of archaeologists to excavate the remains, and the cavers had found part of a human skull. And as our excavation progressed, we found, you know, a complete body, and we had no idea at the time, you know, how old it was. We thought it might be prehistoric because there was lots of Bronze Age pottery in the cave. But actually, the radiocarbon dating indicated that it was a teenage boy and he had died in the 17th century. So about 400 years ago, he was about 14 to 16 years old. And we did a range of analyses on his bones and, you know, revealed an incredibly sad story, really, of a boy who appears to have hidden in the cave or taken shelter there. He may have been working on the mountain, tending sheep. But his bones indicated that he'd suffered malnutrition repeatedly throughout his short life, and he'd had various illnesses and was just a very unhealthy and malnourished boy.
Mm-hmm. And had a hard life.
Incredibly difficult life, yeah. And I suppose this is what we find with caves, that we find very kind of unusual and different stories. Often things that are very different to what's happening outside in the world above ground.
Mm-hmm. Glencairn Cave as well in the Burn. And Eamon, I know I realise as I'm talking about this that this is your area, but I'm just going to ask Marion to tell us about this one, because this was a place where people had actually set up home, had they?
Yes, so in the early medieval period, about kind of 1,200 years ago, somebody was living in the cave and put a lot of work into making it more habitable. So they had kind of cleared out the entrance chamber area, made a nice level floor, hung a wooden door on the cave entrance, and all of their tools were outside the cave, kind of a sickle for cutting wheat, a knife, a spindle whirl for spinning wool, and they were butchering sheep and pig outside the cave, but then the meat was being consumed inside, and we had a little fireplace. We found their ringed pin, which would be a bronze piece of jewellery that would have been used for fixing your cloak in the early medieval period. So, you know, it's a fabulous example of how people converted a cave into a home, and in this case would probably have lived there for months on end, if not years.
All right, well, look, we want to give people something to do now, and we've spoken about the experienced cavers, and they're the only ones who should go to some of those caves we have mentioned. But Eamon, the show caves, the ones that are can be accessed by the public, you're going to take us through some of these, and we are going to County Clare first, the Alwi Caves.
Yeah, Alwi Caves, that's one of the oldest show caves in the country. So that was found originally back in the 1950s by Jack O'McGann, and his dog just got lost inside the cave. He was out walking and the dog went in and he found that. And then it kind of, you know, it was kind of left like that for a while. He didn't take too much notice of it because there's lots of caves. And then in the 1970s, cavers went in and started exploring it and found out the extent of it. And then shortly after that, then it was a local pair, two local families actually bought the access to that, and they opened it up as a show cave in 1976. So there's huge experience there with that cave. They've developed it over the years. They've developed it into not just a cave, but there's a farm shop there as well. There's a wonderful birds of prey centre as well, and there's woodland walks as well. So, you know, for the people who don't want to go into a cave, and I know there's a small number of people who don't like that, there's other things to do on the surface as well while you're there. Mm-hmm. But the cave itself is fantastic. You know, the guides are wonderfully trained. There's a nice, it's relatively easy to access, so it's a nice walk in. And then one of the first things you see in there is the bare bones, and the bare bones and where they were resting, where they were hibernating. There's these hibernation pits inside the cave. So that's one of the key things about this cave, is that the bones have been dated to, you know, 4,500 years. So, you know, there were people around at that time. So they're some of the youngest bare bones we found in the country, but they would have interacted with people, and people would have interacted with them and would have hunted them.
It's an extraordinary experience, and perhaps something for people to look at doing this weekend. And if you are around the area, you could then go to see Doolin Cave, Eamon.
Doolin Cave, exactly. It's not too far away. It's in the Burn Limestone as well. But that's a very different kind of cave. So you know, again, that was modified to make it easy for people to go in. There's a spiral staircase you go down. But what the thing about this cave is, when you walk along this passageway, you're suddenly... it opens up into a large chamber, and hanging from that ceiling of that chamber is this magnificent stalactite. It's over 7 metres long, it's white, and it's just such a wonderful and unexpected, it's like a big chandelier hanging out of the ceiling, but it's a naturally formed stalagmite that's been forming there for, well, we don't know exactly, there's projects going on to try and establish that, but certainly hundreds of thousands of years.
And Marion, you're going to take us to two very different places now, Dunmore Cave in Kilkenny and then to Fermanagh.
Yeah, Dunmore Cave is an incredible site because it's one of few caves in that part of the country. And we have reference to this cave from medieval manuscripts where they talk about a Viking massacre at Dunmore Cave. It's this huge black gaping opening on the ground surface, and then you walk down a series of steps to get into these enormous chambers. And maybe referencing the Viking attack, there were remains of 49 people discovered there in the 70s, and they've been radiocarbon dated to the Viking period. So it's possible that these are these were the victims of a Viking massacre. There's also a possibility that it was actually a Viking burial ground, because a lot of Viking artifacts were found in the cave, which you wouldn't expect if they had massacred a local population. And a very tall stalagmite there as well. So that's very impressive.
And then in... Yes, Marble Arch Caves in Fermanagh then.
Yeah, that's a wonderful sight. You have an underground river there. So depending on the rainfall, it's possible for visitors to actually take a boat underground and travel on that underground waterway as well.
OK, well, look, we have those show caves and we have the wild caves as well, which we were talking about a little earlier. And a reminder that if you are interested in visiting the wild caves, don't do it by yourself. Take Eamon's advice and get involved in a caving club. And if you're interested in doing that, you can go to caving.ie for more information on the many caving clubs in Ireland. But for now, Dr. Eamon Doyle and Dr. Marion Dowd, thank you both very much indeed for joining us.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.